Thank you, Rob. The gospel lesson this morning is taken from Luke chapter 4. And if you'd like to follow along, you'll find that on the scripture insert. Or you could just sit there and listen to the good news about Jesus. Then Jesus, filled with the power of the Spirit, returned to Galilee, and a report about him spread through all the surrounding country. He began to teach in their synagogues and was praised by everyone. When he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him, and he began to say to them, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." Let us pray. Dear Lord, thank you that you give us your word to hear, to understand, to get a sense of insight for our purpose in the world, to understand your purpose in the world. And act like Ezra and Nehemiah of old, when we hear your word, we want to understand and put it into practice in our life. Thank you for helping us to do that by the power of the Holy Spirit today, in Jesus' name. Amen. So, what's your mission? Why were you born? Isn't that a great question? You know, I think a lot of times we prefer not answering that question. Why were you born? Oh my gosh. You know, when we grow older, you know, 13, 14 years of age, when we're about that age, it seems like we know everything. Anybody know any people like that? Teenagers, they know everything, right? And then, of course, as we grow older, we realize that we don't know everything, right? And there is that word wisdom. We are all here filled with wisdom, each of us. Imagine if we took all the wisdom represented in this room today. That is an awful lot of wisdom. And when we think about the things that God has brought us through, our experiences together, it just is amazing to us. But as we grow older, of course, we're able to look back and say, you know, there's lots of things in my life that I didn't do I thought I would do. And there's plenty of things in my life that I did that I really wish I hadn't done. And so if we don't have a sense of our real purpose in our whole life, a reflecting upon why God has put us here, we could either be filled with some regret or worry and anxiety. And I don't think any of us want to grow older every day, as we all do, grow older every day, and increase our feeling of regret, our feelings of fear or anxiety. We instead want to learn from our mistakes, be encouraged to do our very best, and to fulfill our life's purpose. And that may not be a specific thing, but it could be an orbit of things, a constellation of things that we have come to understand about ourselves, of what we bring value to in the world. And all of us together, all of our life experiences, create for us the mission of Cold Spring Presbyterian Church. So what is our mission? Well, consider the salmon. Anybody like salmon? Hands up if you like salmon. Hey, most people like salmon. Anybody really hate salmon? Yeah, you don't like the color, you don't like the consistency of it. It's just something about that, right? Well, I'm a huge salmon lover. Did you know that salmon, one of maybe a dozen, maybe two dozen creatures that are familiar to us, is one of the homebody fish of the world. When it's spawned and it, when it was given birth, you know, its eggs pop out there and up in the river. It swims furiously and goes out to sea, spends its livelong days. And then when it's ready to give birth to children, it swims back up that very same stream. It follows back on that same dusty road. It follows the same directions with which it was sent years before. It goes back to its spawning ground, back to its place of birth, and there it repeats the cycle that has been going on just forever time. So that the salmon, if we look at the mission of the salmon is simply to repeat what we often call just instinct or nature. It's not bad, it's good. In fact, salmon, to those who raised their hand, is very good. But the purpose of the salmon is to do this cycle of life. It's born in one place, goes some distance away, invests its time and energy in that particular orbit of living, just swimming around, being a fish. And of course, unless it's caught and appears on your table, it swims upstream, the very same stream from which it came from, and then repeats that cycle. So what is the salmon's mission but to repeat the cycle that it has learned? And it's not a bad cycle, again, but it's a repetitive cycle, and the salmon just repeats it over and over and over again. So what is our mission? Let's ask the carrion crows. Anybody know about carrion crows? The carrion crows are very popular in Great Britain and in Europe, but it just looks like any other crow. But the curious thing about the carrion crow is that it happens to like a certain kind of nut. It just loves nuts. And the carrion crow will go ahead and just try to break the nut, of course, with its beak and then take out and eat the pulp inside. But what the carrion birds have learned to do over the last 70 or 80 years is with the onslaught of cars invading their flying territory, it discovered a most amazing thing, that it takes the nuts that it gets off the trees and intentionally drops them in the road and waits for cars to ride over the seeds, breaks the shell, and then as it stands, you know, just by the side of the road there, like on the sidewalk waiting, it just darts back out in the lane of traffic, avoiding all the oncoming cars, gets the seed pulp, the nut pulp, and then makes its way back to the side, goes out, flies, finds another seed, nut from a tree, goes back over the road, drops it down. If it doesn't break right away, it just waits patiently for cars to go by, and finally after 5, 10, 20, 30 minutes, it finally finds that broken nut and goes and enjoys their meal. Now the carrion crows, what scientists have discovered, is before the roads occurred, you know, they would just break them with their beak. But somehow they learned that some of the carrion crows actually learned that by dropping the nut from a high distance would sometimes crack the nut. And then they observed, when they accidentally dropped it on a highway, that, and it didn't break, that they just waited a moment for a car to go over. There is a sort of a group of carrion birds that are the leader birds in any one grouping of birds in a region. And those leader birds figured this out, and soon every other bird did the same thing. See, the salmon don't learn and try to figure out a better way of going upstream and spawning and repeating that cycle over and over again. But somehow the carrion crows have figured out how they can make a change in their life and improve their surroundings and teach other birds to do the same. So the carrion crows have a different way of modeling their life. What is our mission? Well, it could be that of a salmon, it could be that of a carrion crow, where we learn new things and teach others to do the same. Well, let's look at the life of Jesus. Jesus, some 30-some years of age, was now baptized, remember, by John in the River Jordan, as a model for everyone else, that God requires a sort of a physical presence about that. You just don't say, I'm following Jesus, and just sort of keep that in your head, and you don't do anything about it. It requires you actually to get up and do something about it. And so Jesus then does his ministry of going from town to town. But before he healed people, before he called people to forgiveness, but before he did all the things that we remember him doing, Jesus went to his hometown, as he often did on the Sabbath, and he read the scripture that was appointed for the day. Some scholars suggest that Jesus went on this particular day because, like us, we have appointed readings for any given Sunday. The Hebrews did that, the Jewish people did that as well back then. And so Jesus, knowing that today was the day that they were going to be reading from the prophet Isaiah, reads those words that we read in our scripture, that the Lord has appointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor, to proclaim sight for the blind, to proclaim freedom for those who are bound up, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord's favor. Back in Nazareth, that was not the town that you'd want to tell people you came from. Did you ever meet somebody and they sort of said they were from an area, and then as you got to know them, maybe over a period of months or years, you actually discovered they're from there? I found that to be true in an area that I served in North Philadelphia, in Kensington. When I was serving in Kensington, a church called Wilkie Memorial Church, Kensington and Allegheny, during that time, it was sort of a special mission church of the Presbytery. So every now and again, I would go out and visit other churches across Philadelphia and across the suburbs around Philadelphia and sort of tell them our story there at Kensington and Allegheny. And, you know, so many people came in line, like after a worship service where I told them a little bit about our story there, about working with kids and other things. And on the way out, they'd say, you know, I never tell anybody I was from Kensington, but I'm going to do that from now on, because I know that hope can come from anywhere. Because growing up, Kensington just wasn't one of those spots. There could be other neighborhoods like it. Maybe we know of one. Maybe we came from one. It's just not the place you want to tell people you came from. It's perfectly fine you came from there. There's a lot of wonderful things that may have been experienced there. But as the years go by, that neighborhood that you remember is not quite the neighborhood that it is now. And so the association with that kind of neighborhood in our thinking is just not something we want to carry with us into the future. So that's why it's important that we remember that where we come from can be a wonderful place to return to. But when we return to it, we can actually bring a blessing and make things better than it was when we were there. So Jesus returns to his hometown that nobody wanted to say they were from. Jesus knew that there could be good that comes out of a town like Nazareth. There could be good that comes out of a place of a neighborhood in Philadelphia or different neighborhoods around in South Jersey. There could be those places that say, you know, I don't really want to tell people where I'm from. Might be a little embarrassed. Maybe there was something in the news recently that kind of you don't want to be associated with. But every community doesn't have to be a salmon. Every person doesn't have to be a salmon and just repeating the same things that we've learned over the years. We instead can listen and watch what other people are doing to make a difference, like perhaps those carrion crows. And we can say, oh my gosh, look at that. When they drop the nut there in the middle of the road, it gets soon crushed by the cars and they have a great meal. I wonder if I shouldn't try that. And so those of us who have that kind of insight, like people here at Cold Spring Church 305 years ago, we looked around and said, you know what? This community could be different. This community could be better. Well, how do we know that? Because our experience with Jesus and what Christ has brought to our life, the new resources we have in our life, imagine the guilt of sin being lifted because Jesus has forgiven our sins. Imagine the anxiety. All of us experience anxiety, but imagine that all the anxiety, we actually have a place that we can cast our cares and anxieties upon, knowing that God cares for us. Not everybody knows that. We may think everybody knows that. Maybe that's a Bible verse some of our older people might remember being taught as a child. But do you think everyone just practices that, knowing that there's a place to cast our fears, our anxieties upon, because God cares for us and gives us resources to bear up and to be strong even in the midst of challenging times, pain and suffering, and gives us resources to improve, not just to endure, that we're not here simply to pass along, but to make a difference as we go. Melissa shared with me one of her favorite poems. Maybe it's one of yours from Emily Dickinson. Listen. If I can stop one heart from breaking, I shall not live in vain. If I can ease one life of aching, or cool one pain, or help one fainting robin unto its nest again, I shall not live in vain. One of the things that Jesus reminds us of when he was standing there in that synagogue in Nazareth is that our life was meant to be a difference. He could have stood up there and just said, life would just be what you learn, like a salmon. Or maybe it's just to be clever, like that carrion crow. But Jesus had a mission, and he wants to share that mission with each of us to fulfill in our own unique way. So listen again to what Jesus said. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to those who are captive and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Now, friends, I think 2019 is the year of the Lord's favor. I think that this is a year in our area of Cold Spring that the Spirit of the Lord is upon us, that God has anointed us, called us, gifted us, invited us, compelled us to bring good news to everyone. He has sent us to proclaim freedom to everyone, to recover the sight of all people, not just those who are physically affected by not seeing things clearly, but those who walk their life every day with sort of a cataract of living, sort of an attitude or an anxiety or a fear or a learned response to things that, like the salmon, just repeat the same old patterns over and over again. And instead, Jesus says he wants us to help recover our sight, to give people new vision, and to invite people to see the goodness of the Lord, to let those who are oppressed go free. In a few minutes after our lunch, we'll be celebrating our 305th year that begins this year. Through our annual report, we've captured some of the stories, and those will be distributed to you right after our worship service. As you look at them today, and as we have our brief congregational meeting, think to yourself, how do these reports show how we have been anointed by Jesus to bring good news, to proclaim release, to recover the sight, to set those who are oppressed free? Because this is the year of the Lord's favor, and that is the core of our mission. Let us pray. Let's pause for a moment. You may want to use your insert today to capture some notes from today's worship service. Just think for a moment about hearing those words from Jesus. If you were there in attendance in that little synagogue, in that forsaken place, that little town of Nazareth, Jesus invites you to notice that the Spirit of the Lord has fallen upon you too. And how will that influence your life's purpose beginning today? Lord, thank you that in Christ we are new creations. What has come before is gone. Behold, the new is before us. You've invited us to press forward in our calling in Christ. And thank you for giving us this year to be a year where we proclaim your favor, your love, your joy. And for this, we give thanks. In Jesus' name, amen.